Well, hello, everybody. My name is James. I have a new life in Christ, and I am recovering from an addiction to pornography, pride, and depression. Hello. Will you all pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Regen. Thank you for just the time and the space that you've created for us to examine our lives and learn just to follow hard after you, Lord. Thank you for my story. Thank you for where you've taken me and where you've pulled me from, Lord. I pray for tonight that you will just use it to encourage and spur people closer to you. Amen. I really am so thankful to be up here today telling you my story. And it's my hope that through it, you may be drawn closer to Christ, or at least consider the possibility that there's an all-powerful God who cares deeply about you, your struggles, and wants you to experience the fullness of joy through relationship with his son, Jesus. At an early age, I came to understand Christ's love for me and my need for his grace. That even though I was young, I was still a sinner by my very nature, and only the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ could save me from the eternal fate that I deserved. The best part, I remember as a kid, was the fact that the gift was freely given to me and that there was nothing I could do to earn it. I was raised in a Christian home and am still blessed by my two loving, God-fearing parents. Church was a time and place I enjoyed going to, and most of my friends and social life were through the church. I started attending Watermark during my junior high years, was in a small group, had a great leader that encouraged me and taught me truth. I say all this to paint a picture for you. I have been blessed with every advantage and opportunity to have a deep relationship with Christ, be trained in wisdom, and have people in my life holding me accountable to those things. And yet, in the winter of 2013, I found myself engulfed by guilt and shame with an addiction to pornography that was absolutely owning me. I had developed a habit of self-medicating my depression and feelings of chaos, and though I consistently felt hollow afterwards, my pride continued to inform my thinking as I convinced myself that I could handle this issue on my own. My first exposure to pornography was at the age of 12. I'm not sure that at the time I knew what sex was or why I was so eager to get around the loopholes in the filtering software designed to keep me away from it. But I do know that I began to seek out pornography for the thrill, instant gratification, and feeling of control it gave me when the rest of my life was out of control. Now, it seems strange that a kid so young would be wrestling with feelings of my life is out of control, and frankly, I agree. But my family had just moved back to Dallas from living overseas in the Middle East. I was in a new all-boys school environment that was particularly hostile, and I would later come to understand that by this point in my life, I had been sexually abused. I was deeply wounded, and instead of seeking help or speaking up, I crawled inside of myself, learned to ingest my feelings, and realized that projecting good moral behavior was the best way to keep people away from my hurt. When I felt overwhelmed, pornography became my escape, and keeping it a secret was critical to maintaining my projection of morality. Though I now know that what was done to me was wrong and not my fault, I am still responsible for the actions and habits I willingly formed as a result. I felt ashamed that I knew of the gift of grace and the white of snow forgiveness that Jesus freely offered me, but I willingly chose to trust in my own habits of coping. By the time I had gone through high school, the painful life events continued to compound on my already wounded heart. I lost two grandparents that I loved deeply, a classmate who died suddenly from an illness, a teammate who was killed while driving drunk, and a friend who committed suicide on our school campus. I was consistently verbally bullied by my classmates, from whom I so desperately wanted to be liked and accepted by. I felt frustrated by my parents who, as I perceived, treated me like I was a bad kid, even when behaviorally I really was a good kid, especially in relation to my classmates. I sought validation and approval from dating relationships with girls that, although didn't cross physical boundaries, certainly crossed unseen emotional ones. And when those relationships ultimately failed, it left me emotionally numb and cold. Each of these life events added another impenetrable layer around my heart as I slipped deeper into isolation and dependence upon myself. During all of this, I openly proclaimed to be a believer in Christ. And though I don't believe I was being disingenuous, the reality is that Christianity had become my culture, but Christ was not my savior. Looking back, I can see that Matthew 23, 27 through 28 described me pretty accurately. For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. I used the illusion of solidarity and dependence on Christ to mask my emotional isolationism and pain. I learned how to be seemingly vulnerable within my Watermark small group and with other Christian friends by revealing only the outer layers of my struggle in a way that made me, frankly, seem really Christian without ever dealing with the root of my issues. The truth is so clearly spoken in Psalms 14:12. There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it's the way to death. I continually and habitually returned to pornography in order to cope with the chaos and rejection I felt in the real world. I knew that my choice was the wrong one, and the never-ending cycle of pornography, followed by shame and guilt, eventually turned into self-loathing. I began to reinforce to myself the belief that I was unlovable, undesirable, and unseen. I became suicidal, and I wanted to end my life. I wanted to die like my friend had, alone in a car crash. I wanted it to be tragic, an accident that wasn't my fault, to invoke the sympathies and sorrow I felt my life deserved from the people who spurned and rejected me. I wanted everyone else to feel the pain, and I wanted to stop feeling the pain I felt too. By the grace of God alone, I did not go through with my plan. As he promises us in 1 Corinthians 10:19, he provided for me a way out of my depressed world with a group of friends that loved the Lord and began to love me well. By the time I had met my wife and we were engaged, I believed that I had found victory over my struggle with pornography. I was more aware of the triggers that led me to be tempted by it and found success in avoiding those things. We went through Merge, Watermark's premarital class, and I shared with her my history of struggling with pornography, feeling that I had crossed the finish line. Not long after our wedding, however, it became dauntingly clear to me that I struggled severely with intimacy. Sex made me nervous. I couldn't quite articulate what was going on, especially to her, and yet again I began to wrestle with guilt and shame for the consequences that I thought were the results of years of pornography. Unfortunately, combined with the chaos of uncertainty in the job, and a risky business venture, I was all of a sudden back in the chains of using pornography to cope with it all. Coping with pornography clearly didn't help my issues with intimacy, and my life became like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Using pornography made me literally sick, noticeably changed my personality, and frankly, I was not pleasant to be around. These changes were too apparent, and the guys in our newly formed foundation group began to lovingly pry into my life beyond the layers I was usually willing to give out. God had yet again made provision for me to flee from my sin through these men. I confessed to them that I had begun using pornography and that I needed help. I expected to be met with wide-eyed fear and condescending advice, but instead was met with empathetic, grace-filled encouragement and prayer. They helped me see that what I called a struggle with pornography was really an addiction to pornography, and that was a huge paradigm shift for me to finally see. Confessing to my wife made me incredibly fearful. I hated that I hurt her, that I tainted our marriage in this way. And my pride hated that I was having to admit that I wasn't strong enough to overcome or resist my own temptations. But my fears were met with forgiveness, and it was then that I committed to her that I would attend Regen and not simply do better or white knuckle it like I had done so many times in the past. On my first night of Regen, I was incredibly nervous about being recognized by someone who knew me, which is ironic by standing up here tonight. I thought that, frankly, they would think less of me, that somehow I was a failure for having to come to Regen and not being able to deal with my sins properly on my own. But after years of struggling, I was exhausted. I had come to the end of myself. I fully understood what I was being called to in step one. Admit, I am powerless over my addictions. After a few months in open group, however, I thought I had essentially recovered. and that this experience had been great for me to rebound and get fixed, but I didn't have to go through with the whole thing. I mean, I knew Jesus, I mentally understood grace, and had effectively substituted behavior modification with recovery. That was the whole point, right? But when I discovered a loophole in the safeguards that were supposed to keep pornography away from me, I was drawn back into my own addiction with alarming ease. Confessing my pornography addiction to my wife the second time was incredibly painful and difficult. But God, in his infinite wisdom, knew that I was still missing it and needed to be humbled again. I was placed in a step group and was ready to humbly do whatever region asked of me, but I frankly cruise controlled through the first three steps, feeling that I had already admitted to my addiction, I already believed in God, and I already trusted Christ when I was young. As I was going through the inventory process, however, I can no longer say with authenticity that I believe what the Bible taught, because my actions so clearly showed otherwise. This part was huge for me, because it led me to be able to struggle with unbelief for the first time out loud, without the fear of being scoffed at or looked at incredulously. Before, in other Christian groups, it was easier to talk about having a pornography problem or an issue with pride because everyone could relate and was almost accepted as being normal or okay. But it was unthinkable for me to express my unbelief because I had built so much of my identity on it. The reality, however, was I had used the facade of belief to cover my deeply rooted insecurities, hurt, and pain. Now, surrounded by men who were wrestling with the exact same thing and openly expressing their misgivings, doubts, and questions, I honestly verbalized my feelings about God and his promises. I had finally come to the realization that my core issue wasn't that I didn't believe that God was good or that he had my best interests in mind. Years of feeling rejected, hurt, and lonely had led me to substitute his joy with my own control, self-protection, and pride. I began to reread step three over and over again, and my constant prayer was for God to help me with my unbelief, to help me experience the joy that goes beyond understanding, and to honestly deal with the dark feelings I had buried deep in my heart. I had an intellectual knowledge of God, but I was missing out on enjoying that relationship. I didn't always feel like I accomplished the goal of every step, but I continued to do the work that was asked of me. I walked through the hairy details of my inventory with my wife and my community group, as they patiently listened and then helped me see patterns and blind spots that I could not. My inventory, while first showing me that I had a core issue with trust and belief, also began to fit more puzzle pieces together about my childhood and why I had such strong trust and intimacy issues. Up until that point, I had little to no recollection or memory of certain parts of my childhood. Sexual abuse is hard to verbalize and admit both to other people and to yourself. I didn't want that to be my story. I didn't want to tell anybody. I frankly almost left it off sharing my testimony tonight. It took me many months of seeking answers from my parents and prayer for healing before I let anybody else in. To me, it is the genesis and core of my wounds. My walls were built to protect it, and having been left alone for so long, it was poisoning me. By bringing this hurt to light, I began to experience the healing that God promises us, and I relied on his truth, rejecting the idea that I was unlovable, unworthy, and worthless. Towards the end of the steps, I was given the opportunity to go to Haiti with my wife and our community group. At first, I was nervous, still feeling pretty raw from the tumultuous journey through the steps. But God used this time to slow me down, humble me, and then remind me that he alone is my provision. I had nothing else to rely on. And when faced with circumstances that were out of my control, I put my trust fully in Christ. I can't really begin to articulate the transformation that I experienced internally, but man, I felt the joy. For the first time in my life, I felt the joy. And I felt beyond any doubt that the certainty of God's sovereignty, his love, and his provision, he gave me the desires of my heart to know him intimately and to also be known in the same way. Through Regen, Christ alone changed me. He redeemed the innocent boy that lived inside the walls of my heart. He told me that I am now a new creation, that my old, bitter, and broken self has gone away and the new has come. He loves me, even at my darkest moment, and there is nothing damaged, screwed up, or broken in how he made me. I cling to those words and have reminded myself daily of that truth I'm no longer ashamed of my story. I wish I didn't have to go through all the pain to get here, but I know that God is good, and he has my best interests at heart. This is especially true in my relationship with my wife, where before I felt incapable of connecting both intimately on the emotional and physical levels, I now feel the freedom to fully give myself to her, including the insecure and painful parts. To be honest, it still can be hard for me to articulate what's going on inside, but now I don't feel as tempted to cover it up or run away from those insecurities. Our community group has also been a huge blessing to us as we've gone through these past 3.5 years. They have seen the junk, and they have loved us through it. And not just in the, hey, let me tell you what to do kind of way, but thoughtfully listening, prayerfully considering, and lovingly instructing us with what God's word has to say about that. I now have the pleasure of co-leading a group and through the steps, walking alongside of them as we seek to know God and how that relates to our struggles. As they can attest, I still struggle with the temptation of using pornography to cope with chaos, but I am not alone or isolated in fighting back against Satan and placing hope and trust in Christ to win that war for me. If you're here for the first time or just starting out on this journey, let me encourage you with this. There are no magical 12 steps for recovery, only an invitation to be trained in discipleship and a promise that God wants you to experience the fullness and richness of joy that only a deep relationship with him can provide. There is life to be found here, and it doesn't require that you clean up first. In fact, quite the opposite. We have to be willing to give up our junk and admit that we are powerless to it. It is not by my effort, hard work, or mental acuity that I can experience freedom from the cyclical bondage of guilt, shame, and pornography. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when I continually used pornography to escape my pain, even when I lied and manipulated my way out of consequences, even when I was bitter towards my parents, when I was self-righteous and arrogant, when I wanted to selfishly commit suicide to bring myself praise, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, I have been saved. Thank you.